This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box podcast for coaches, players, and parents from all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, bringing you the show from the Lineup Media Group Studios. We have just returned from an outstanding trip from Havana, Cuba, one of the best baseball countries in the world, working with players and coaches. It was an honor and a thrill. We learned so much. Hopefully, we gave back a little. And now we're excited to bring to you today's show. And before we do that, remember, if you're not a member, join. You can join the podcast by going to baseballoutsidethebox.com. You can click on that iTunes or Stitcher logo and go ahead and subscribe. By doing this, we'll notify you when the next show's up and running, so that way you don't have to go searching. It'll come up to you right away. Do us a favor while you're there. If you like our shows, give us a 5-star rating. That helps keep the show going. You'll be able to listen to a lot of shows in the Lineup Media Group once you subscribe. Shows like Youth Baseball Talk with Jim Cromer, who does a great job discussing the issues of youth baseball. Also, Chasing Pucks with Panger about the NHL. You got the Bleacher Bums and many other shows. We want to thank the Lineup Media Group for hosting our show. So if you need to go to that website, go to lineupmediagroup.com and you can check out all the shows. Remember, love getting your emails, love interacting with our audience. We are here to help. Any questions you have about the game or any questions you have about any of our shows, let us know your questions. We'll get back to you right away with some details answering your questions. And don't forget, we're on Twitter. We get a lot of tips on Twitter. So follow us at Baseball Out. Get all your friends in the game of baseball to follow us also, because they're going to really enjoy a lot of tips that they receive. And currently on our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com, I placed our 5 instructional videos that I developed on practice organization, along with all the skills and drills. That has over 100 game skills and drills that you could utilize within all your practices throughout the year. To purchase the DVDs, just go to the website, Baseball Outside the Box. If you purchase them before Christmas, I'll throw in a couple new DVDs with even another 20 to 30 more drills. So now we are excited to start today's show, as always, because we feel we bring you the best minds in the game of baseball who are passionate, energetic, who love teaching coaches, players, and parents, and just giving their information out to make sure that the game's being developed correctly. This gentleman I've known for a long time. He is the most passionate, exciting person that you could ever be around. He's not a youngster, but he's been around a lot, and he's still got that passion. So we're excited. Let me tell you a little bit about our speaker first. First of all, the topic we're going to discuss with Jim Lefebvre, former manager of the Cubs, Mariners, and Brewers, and also the former hitting coach of the San Francisco Giants. We are going to talk hitting, of course, in the first half, and why, you know, young kids, players need to increase their bat speed, how they can increase bat speed, what's the importance, and, you know, bat speed is something that is vital in hitting, and pitchers are throwing the ball harder, so, you know, bat speed, you know, kids need to increase that bat speed, and Jim is going to explain to us why. Along with the second half of the show, we're going to discuss, you know, coaching philosophy, strategies, how important coaches are, parents, you know, and players, and being educated in the development of of the game. That makes the game grow faster, grow bigger if coaches are educated. Jim is extremely passionate. I've known Jim for over 25 years, so I know you're going to love the show. Jim's background, again, as I mentioned, he's former National League Rookie of the Year, Major League Manager of Chicago Cubs, the Seattle Mariners, Milwaukee Brewers, also the hitting coach with the San Francisco Giants. Jim was also the manager of the Chinese national team in the 2008 Olympics. Just a high, intense, energetic person and extremely knowledgeable. So we're excited to have Jim Lefebvre on the show. It's a great pleasure to welcome on today's show one of the most passionate and great teachers of the game of baseball that I have ever had the pleasure to be around. As mentioned in the introduction, he's a former National League Rookie of the Year, Major League manager, hitting coach, and he was the manager of the Chinese national team in the 2008 Olympics, along with the World Baseball Classic. I've known Jim for over 20 years, since he was a guest instructor at the world-famous Mickey Owen Baseball School, and I love having him on the show because this is going to be a passionate show. This is one of the greatest minds in the game of baseball. So I want to welcome the Baseball Outside the Box, Jim Lefebvre. Jim, how you doing today?
Good, Pete. And it's a real honor to be on your show. Honestly, you know, you start talking about the camps that we went to many, many years ago, how much fun they were, you know, and everybody was there not only trying to be a good ball player, but just enjoying themselves. And I remember those moments very well, Pete, very, very well.
And the one I specifically remember is when you were great enough to come. I was the Belgium national coach, and you were great enough to come out there and do a seminar for our coaches in Belgium. We had about 150 coaches. I mean, you knocked that, the gym. I mean, they just loved it. And because of your energy, your passion, your knowledge, that's why I love having you on your show. I still remember our times in Belgium.
I did, too. And did we have a few laughs?
Yeah, we sure did. That's what's fun about the game.
Oh, yeah. Dick Birmingham was one of our leaders, and we lost him. And he was not only a great baseball guy, but he was so much fun to be around. And people loved him. He was so compelling and so gracious and everything like that. We lost him. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun. But there was a lot of baseball out there. And people in Europe and different countries, because I've all been all over the Middle East. I've been all over the Far East and Latin America and everything, and they're always intrigued by Major League Baseball and what does it take to get to the next level. And I say that in sincerely, Pete, because a lot of guys go over to Europe and a lot of them don't realize that those kids know more about baseball than they give them credit for. So they start talking about, well, this is how you handle the bat. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. They don't want to hear that anymore. They don't know how to get faster.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get stronger. They want to know how to get better to play at the highest level. And I think that's why we've had good response, because we're always talking about getting better.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to lead in perfectly, Jim. I really appreciate you talking about that, because I know you've been all over the world. The first thing I'd like to do, would be awesome, is tell the audience around the world what you're currently doing, because I think it can help a lot of people, not only in the U.S., but also around the world. And then we'll lead into some other topics from there.
Well, you know, after the 2008 Olympic Games, you know, I got a call from from MLB, which got a call from the Sports Ministry of China, requesting somebody that could teach them what I call the Major League way. You know what I mean? And I thought that was well read, because you don't want to say, well, it's the Chinese way versus the American way. There could be some resentment. But the Major League way is a completely different a situation. But they wanted somebody who managed in the big leagues, somebody who coached in the big leagues, somebody who ran a farm system in the big leagues, and so on and so forth. And they came to me and said, you're the only guy that could do it. Well, they talked me into it, and I went over to China, and it was in 2003, believe it or not. They wanted to know, what did they have to do to qualify for the 2008 Olympic Games? This is how far ahead they thought. And then the story was told me about the sports ministry calling Major League Baseball, and they wanted me to teach them the Major League way. And I had to teach them that, Pete, in 4 months.
Wow.
And so, because they wanted to go through the trials for the Greek Olympics to see what they were going to be up against, knowing that the 2008 Olympic Games, they already had an automatic slot. But that's the way they think. They're always thinking, you know what I mean? They do not want to be embarrassed. So I went over there, you know, and I really was reluctant. I didn't know much about it. I said, well, tell me about the talent. We don't know. That's why we're sending you there. Well, okay, thanks a lot. What about the cultural stuff? We don't know. That's why we're sending you. What about the political situation? We don't know. That's why we're sending you. And I said, I got to the language barrier. Same thing. So next thing you know, I'm going over there strictly by myself. You know what I mean? MLB upon the request of the Chinese government, wanted somebody to teach them that. That's why I was going there. And boy, what an experience it was, because they were, I didn't know what I was walking into. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got into China, we sat down with all the coaches. I sat down with all the players. They presented me as their new manager to take them through these new phases of development. And my question is to the head people, well, what would you like? What do we need to work on? Well, that's what we don't know. That's why you're here. I've gone back and forth. Who wants what? They said, seriously, this is your program. Do what you need to do to get these guys ready to play in the 2008 Olympic Games. And we're going to have the USA. We know Cuba's going to be mm-hmm. there. We know that Japan's going to be there. We know that Korea's going to be there, and so on and so forth. And so I said, okay. But I had the opportunity, Pete, I don't mean to be talking too much here, but...
No, go ahead, because I think it's important, Jim. I know you're going to lead probably into how you got started. How did you have to evaluate these players? How do you start? If somebody does start a program, how do you do that?
Well, the first thing you got to do when you go over there and you don't know much about the situation, you have to have great translators. And so I really said that's the one thing I want more than anything else. I want to have comfortable places to live and stuff like that, because you got to feel comfortable when you go to another country. And then I got to have a good coaching staff. It was mm-hmm. imperative for me when I first got there, when I was introduced to the team as well as to all the sports ministry people out there, big people over there, the sports ministry, that I was here not to take their jobs. I was here to teach them how to compete at the major league level. And so it's going to take time for me to assess them. So my coaching staff became really important. I want them to know I'm not here to take your jobs. I want to know what your thinking is. I want you to tell me who your best players are. I want to know your hitting programs. I want to just watch them play. The biggest problem we have with a lot of guys that go to foreign countries, and it's always the kid, you say, the American way. They walk in the first day, well, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. Wait a minute. How can you say you're going to do that when you haven't even seen what we have? So I took the play. Yeah. So they were presented to me, to the team out there on the field in formation. And basically, they said, would you like to say something? I said, no, I'm just happy to be here. I'm excited about being part of this team. And I'm here to teach you the major league way, okay? How they play in the big leagues. But first, I want to watch you train. So we went through this for about 6 days, Pete. But every night, I took the coaches out to dinner. And when you go take them out to dinner and have a few drinks and drink some of that white wine they have over there, I don't think they're over there.
You find the truth. They start talking.
And I really wanted to present myself as the friend. You know, I'm the manager, but we are friends. We're working together. The staff is important. Your input's going to make it a lot easier for me to evaluate my talent. And the same thing, back and forth and everything. I can't be watching everybody. So I went around, I talked to all the coaches. They, you know, they accepted me, and we had fun. And then I told the group, about 6 days into it, Pete, they came to me and said, would you at least say something to the team? You keep saying you just want to watch them play. I said, tomorrow I'll talk to them. So sure enough, I got them all together. And they're all sitting there. They're in formation, military formation. They had their hats on and their heads were down. That's just every sport over. That's the procedure they do. That's the standard mm-hmm. procedure for China. You know what I mean? They were in formation, hats down. So the first thing I did, I said, okay. The manager LaFever wants to say something. I said, I sure do. The first thing I want you to do right from the very get-go, first thing I want you to do when you get there, I want you to put your hats on, and when I talk, you look me right in the eye. You know why? Because champions look you in the eye. And we're going to start talking about what we need to do to get this team ready to play in the Olympic Games, a very, very high-level games. First of all, I wanted to compliment the coaches, because they did one heck of a good job of preparing you for all the stuff that we're going to be doing right now. That was important to let them know that I appreciated what they want. Now, my job was to get you to that next level. And all I said to them as simple as this. It's very simple. The game gets faster the higher you go up. You know what I mean? High school.
Yeah.
From high school to college, it's faster. From college to professional, it's faster. From A ball to double A, it's faster. But they're more consistent. And there's tougher and there's more competitive. So we got to learn how to play the game faster. And we've got a number one thing we got to do. We've got to get stronger. And so I laid a plan out for him, and that's all. And then I said to him, I said, and by the way, one more thing. We're not going to train like the Japanese. And all the guys started laughing. Because, you know, the Japanese, you know, they play more of a slap run, you know what I mean? And
sure.
We got to play a power game. You know, we're going to the Olympic Games, boy. We're going to be with the big boys.
Yeah. Well, Jim, let me ask you, to play the game at the faster speed, so I think it's a great topic here because I think a lot of coaches could learn from this. What did you do with the Chinese to get them to play at that level now?
You know, very simple. Unless you see the game day in and day out, like we used to, you know, Pete, every day. When we see it every day, we've all been there. You can tell right away when you see a guy run. You can tell right away when you see a guy throw. And the way he swings the bat, you know right away. I've been in this game so long. So not long as you, Pete. Not as long as you have. But you can tell right away that, you know, the guys that had a little experience with it. Now, the only way you can, other than that, the only thing you can do is take a stopwatch. And what I did is I went out and I timed every single thing that could happen on a baseball field. And we equated that to everything that we did. Because, you know, the old theory is a pop the pop on a catcher. When a catcher catches the ball and he has to throw it to second base to get a base runner, the average exit is what? Two seconds, correct? Mm-hmm. And anything below that is good. Anything above that is too slow. Well, what about making double plays? What about making plays in the hole? What about outfielders getting the ball on base hit? You got to throw somebody out of home plate. What about all these different? You know, arm strength doesn't always belong to the pitcher. The whole team has to have it. So we took the stopwatch and we started clicking them and we started to get their reaction time and force them to play faster. And I told this, wow. It's going to take time. This is very important. And I think it's a message I like to give to all my coaches out there, listeners. There's no such thing as failure in the game of baseball. Yeah, there's errors. Yeah, there's strikeouts. You know, things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the game. It's how you adjust to those errors and how you adjust to those mistakes is going to determine how successful you are because everybody's going to strike out and pop up.
Yeah.
But the thing here, making an error or striking out or whatever you do is the first step to greatness because the great players know how to adjust. And in my notes here, I said the most important thing what great players do, when you get them out a certain way, they make adjustments. And when you get through the third time or fourth time, you better be careful. And so they start to realize that the process, that failure is part of the process. So let's go out there and try to go faster, which is you're going to be a very erratic, which they were. But boy, it didn't take them long. These kids over in China, the one thing you can say about them, tremendous work ethic. I mean, no matter
what. You know what? That's awesome. And I think a lot of coaches can learn from this because, you know, my next question is going to be, and you know this is going to come up, how did you deal with the hitting aspect? Because obviously they haven't seen the fastballs they're going to see in the Olympics. And this is going to relate to high school, college. It doesn't matter what level. How did you get them to now see those fastballs better, be able to hit the harder fastballs?
That's the key point right there. You know why? Because the game is getting faster. When I came up in 1965, the average exit velocity in the major leagues was probably about 88. You know, miles an hour, that's it. You know, 88, 87, 88. That was, you know, high-end guy. Today, the average starter in the big leagues is 93.4. And the guys are coming out of the pen right now. The average velocity now is 98 miles an hour. And if you catch up with the ball, see what happens as far as where hitting is concerned. See, I not only saw that when I went to being a player itself. So now here I am in China trying to convey to them. So what we did was simple. If you have an equation, if we took the, let's put it this way, a 90 mile an hour fastball from the point of release on a 60 inch mound to the point of contact, it takes 0.4 seconds. Got it? It takes an average big leaguer from the point he pulls the trigger to hit the ball, it takes 1.6 seconds. Got it? So somewhere out there, that in that area where the ball's coming, he's got to know his own where that ball is and when to pull the trigger. So what we did was we did almost what they did in Little League. You know, the Little League mound? And if a guy could throw a ball 70 miles an hour at a Little League distance, the reaction time is as though it's 98 to 100 miles an hour. So what we did was we took all our players. We did most of our batting practice in short distances, but they could not stride. Because in the normal fly of ball, so what we did was they started to realize how to handle speed. Because the ball gets on you quick, man, you can't be thinking, is that a fastball or is that a strike? You just got to react to it. You know what I mean? So that's what we did. We shortened the game up. We basically, I got that out of a book called The Talent Code. Every coach out there should read that. Did you read that book?
No, I have not, but I've heard it so many times. I need to read
what
it.
What they did was very simple. They were, it's all about soccer now. It's up in Sao Paulo. They had a tryout for kids to come out and play soccer. So 500 kids show up. Now they can say, okay, you 200 are going to be on this side of the field, and you 100, 250 going to be on that side of the field, and let's go. No. They had to make room for all the guys. So what they did was they divided the field up in multiple games, you know, like little, maybe half of the, you know, like 50 yards, and they go down there like a rink, like you see in ice skating. And they had one after another, after another, after another, after another, so they could accommodate all those kids. And so what happened, they found out that they would call it four on fours. You know, they'd have a goal, they'd have a goalie, and then they have three guys defending the same thing. They found out that the kids reacted faster, they were quicker, they got more reps. I mean, they had 500 kids playing because they had it all set up their own little area. And that's how.
Yeah, you're seeing that now in hockey also, smaller rinks.
Yeah, and so what I did was I figured, well, if that's going to work for them, then it's got to be working for, you know, that's the only way we have. Let me give you a little facts. I had to do a study on our hitters. Now, how do you do that? Well, we brought them in over here to Arizona, and we worked off them, and when I wanted to find their exit speed, the speed of the ball coming off the bat, that's all I care about, okay? The average exit speed, we put a ball on a tee, you take a bat and you hit it into a net 6 feet away with a radar gun. The average exit speed is 95 miles an hour for the major leagues. I took my Chinese team, put them through the same thing, just had them go through it. Our average exit speed was 82 miles an hour. Way below the ability to go out and face guys throwing 100 miles an hour, you know, I mean, 90 miles an hour, let 100 miles an hour. I mean, you know, that's how do you get them to do that? So I had, personally, being a hitting guy, I had to change my coaching. Not my coaches, my coaching. So I started working on all kinds of drills and things, and we use assortment of balls and bats and quickness drills. There's a whole formula to it. And we finally got them together. When we left for the Olympic Games, we had five guys over 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
5 miles, 500, we had five guys over 100 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, it's a combination of solid contact and bat speed. Of the two, you being a baseball guy, what is the most important?
Solid contact? Huh? Did you say out of the two, which is more important?
Solid contact.
I would think solid contact.
Absolutely. If we knew. So how do you teach solid contact? Well, we started using flat bats. We had flat bats. If you made solid contact, that ball was going to go square. If you rolled like that, the ball's going to go straight down. And if you get under a little bit, you put too much spin on it. No, you're right, Pete. You know that. You've heard me talk about that a lot of times. But those kids, so we had to get them to get solid contact. And then we had to start developing the strength. Once you get the solid contact down, then you can start working on speed. And we really worked at it. And these kids, boy, they put their heart and souls in it. And like I said, we had five guys over 100 miles an hour. That's pretty damn impressive.
Jim, yeah. Jim, can what you're talking about here, because I think it's important, because at the major league level, like you said, velocity's gone higher when it comes to pitching, but yet the hitters may not be catching up. Are you saying also that young kids, whether you're 8, 10, 12, 15, that you can develop this also, the bat speed? Obviously, the solid contact, but they could also develop the
Absolutely.
Bat speed?
No question about it. And it took us, when we had our test at 82 miles an hour, when we first tried the Chinese, 3 years later, we had them. It doesn't happen overnight, Pete. We have to work on it. We have to methodically work on it. We've got to work on solid contact, and then we work on the speed, and there's all kinds of drills that we can do. We got to teach them, because they had to go back to China. I wasn't going to be with them all the time. So we had to teach them how to train quicker and faster. And yes, and there's no question about it. We've had young kids. We've taken the same program to young kids. We've got kids that are right now 11 years old. Even some guys are young. Their exit speeds are already up to 70 miles an hour.
That's great. And I want our audience around the world to know that you can contact Jim on his website, majorleagueway.net, correct,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, that's it, yes.
Because I know that there's going to be a lot of countries and that, you know, they need this type of program. And then we'll get into something. I want to get into the pitching aspect, too, because now the flip side, your Chinese kids also didn't throw probably as hard as some of these other kids. And how were you able to accomplish that when it comes to the pitching aspect? So remember, fans and listeners around the world, it's the website for Jim Lefebvre is majorleagueway.net. Or contact our show, and I can put you in touch with Jim also. Jim, if you want to continue to talk about some of the hitting part, that's great. But then I also want to get into the pitching aspect.
Let me just finish up my hitting program real quick here, because I think, we don't have time for the whole thing. I broke hitting down into five areas, and these are called the five absolutes of hitting, okay? The five absolutes of hitting. Number one, you got to put the ball in play. If you don't put the ball in play, you don't get a batting average. You know what I mean? And the next one, you got to be able to hit fastballs. If you can't hit a fastball, I mean, you're overmatched from day one. So, and then number three, I put 100,000 in the big leagues. You can get all the stats you want and data and everything. We took 100,000 balls, and three years of every ball that was put into play. We put it into a computer, and we put a line, line drive, fly ball, and everything, and then we put a value to the ball flight. Okay.
Okay.
A line drive in the big leagues. If you go to the plate 100 times and hit a line drive, 100 line drives, your batting average is .738. That's not too bad. You walk in to get a raise. I only hit .738 this year. If a ball's hit on a fly ball, any fly ball goes out 300 feet from home plate, the batting average is 180. Why? Guys can run. They run them down.
Yeah.
Anything beyond that, the batting average is 405. Home runs, doubles, whatever, Okay. So now let's come in. Pop-ups purely pop-ups, period. The batting average is 025. Got it? A strikeout would be what? Zero. You got to hit the ball play. Okay, now here's where it's really getting interesting. A ground ball in the big leagues, the batting average is .230. But here's the interesting thing. A hard hit ground ball in the big leagues, the batting average is .491. Now, with those numbers, and you were to put them all together, what would be your number one objective?
Well, hit the ball hard on the ground.
Hit the ball on a line. I'm going to
line
up, but if I miss, I'd rather miss hard down.
Down. Yeah.
That's the key. So now with those in your mind, now you can teach technique. You see what I mean? Now we can start going to the point. Now we can start working on speed. We can start working on quickness. We can start working on breaking balls. We can start working on all different types of things like that. It took me a while for me to really develop this plan, but now we've got it into a easier plan for younger kids that they get it, okay? Okay, so now another thing is, That's the third one, okay? Ball flight. The fourth one, yep. You must master the bottom of the strike zone. And that's curveballs, changeups, everything. Everything in baseball goes down. You know what I mean? Sinkers go down. Changeups goes down. Form, everything. So you got to know which ones to swing at and which ones you can't. I had that problem when I managed the Cubs with Sammy Sosa. I mean, Sammy Sosa, when he first got there, Sammy
swung at everything.
A curveball and his bat were complete strangers. They never met. And I mean, he threw that thing and bounced 15 feet out in front. He go, well, what am I doing wrong? Well, let it get here. At least let it get the home plate. And so we finally got together, and we, you know, as you know, it worked it out. But I mean, Sammy had to go on a strictly a curveball diet, and if he didn't know how to, we had to make him at least be able to confidence so he could defend himself. I mean, he could always hit a fastball, but the thing is that. But anyway, and boy, he hit him. But the thing impressed me more about Sammy when he started taking those really tough curveballs down in there, ball, the ones he was normally swinging at. I started to realize he started to read the ball now. He started getting in balance. He started to get ready to go. So, you know, that was just so. And then the last one, you have to have exit speed. Exit speed of at least 92 to 93 miles an hour in order to play at that high level. If you have an exit arm strength of that, you know, the exit speed off a bat at 90 plus miles an hour, you will be a good hitter. You know what I mean? Just because now you can handle that kind of velocity coming up there, really.
Sure. And this would relate to what it might be 92 at the major league level, but it also might be another speed at, say, the 12-year-old level, but you're mastering that exit speed.
Yes, and let me just tell you this about having good velocity, because we're always dealing with it. But I hear coaches all the time, now swing harder, swing harder, swing harder. Guys throwing pretty fast. No, just start sooner. When a guy starts to get ready to pitch, just start getting really relaxed, get your hands back and see it. Slow it down that way where the ball doesn't seem to have an idea. You know, the ball doesn't jump on your lap right away. Too many guys wait too long before they can see the ball and read it. And remember, have an idea where the ball's going and what part you want. Like, for instance, we always look for a ball about mid-thigh, between the knee and mid-thigh. And if the ball's not there, you take it. It's a ball. But it's in that area, you're loading and you're ready to fire into that spot, and that's what good hitters do. They define the areas, they look for a ball in a certain area, and when they get it, that's the last time you see it in that account, you know, that at bat. So, you know, these are the type of things that are just very big. Now, you notice the five absolute we have, we didn't say one thing about mechanics, did we?
No, and I was going to ask you that because we're coming down to the midway of the show. And that the thing I did want to ask you, and you could add anything else from there, the difference between, you know, because you didn't add, that's exactly what I was going to ask. You didn't say anything about mechanics, which, and the difference between mechanics and your natural swing. Well, you know, where's the balance in teaching the mechanics and letting guys have their natural swing?
Their natural swing. We always hear, you ever heard of the story? They call it signature coaches. We hear it all the time.
Yep.
You know, this guy's a signature coach. He teaches us. The signature belongs to the player. The coach never ever takes credit. When you get a player, I mean, listen, I managed, coached, and I was in the big leagues with four MVPs, hitters. McGuire, Canseco, you know what I mean? Sammy, so Sammy, you go on.
Yep.
A pretty doggone player. The key is find out what works for them and then make sure they stay within that. Now, the mechanics are very simple and they're very similar, but it confuses guys. When a guy has an idea in his brain, what he wants to do, let's go with it. You know, let's go with that thing there. Now, with the way we train, we use those targets. We use those targets. We put those targets up, and we ask him to see how many balls that he can hit off that batting tee and hit the middle of that target. That's where the line drive is, right? Now, if he has a flaw in his swing, what's his dropping his hands or opening up too soon, or those are very correctable things. But it's amazing if you let the kid figure out things for himself and kind of guide him along and encourage him, is going to be much better than cramming down all kinds of swing thoughts and energy. Because, you know, when you walk into a ball game and you're standing on the mound, they always say that baseball is a team sport. Well, it is. But let me tell you something, man. When it's two outs in the bottom of the ninth and you're standing up there and you got a guy like Bob Gibson throwing, you know, you're standing alone. And he's throwing alone out there. Yeah, you got to compete against him, you know what I mean? And you got to figure out what is going to happen, and you got to be ready to hit. So these kids, you know what I mean, they're just not given the chance. So that's why I say failure is not, there's no such thing as failure in our program. Because we keep them, they know how to train, they know how to make adjustments, they know how to do it. And baseball, think about this, it's a forgiving sport in the sense that, you know, you hit 300, right? That means you're going to make seven out of ten outs, and you get 300. So don't let the strike out of the or the mistake bother you. Just correct it and get ready for the next one. And when we got that, we had a bunch of kids. This is I'm really proud of this right here in Indio, California. There's a team over here, and they were practicing, and they needed to get into a tournament, but they weren't old enough. But they got in the tournament anyway. They're all 11-year-olds. It was down in San Diego. They went down and they played in that tournament down there. It was considered, you know, a good tournament. They won every game. Their record was like 27-5. You know, runs scored. They scored 27. They went to that team. But the interesting thing was, the entire tournament, four games, we only had four strikeouts. Four strikeouts.
Wow.
And Pete, I'll tell you right now, if you listen to TV right now, I'm watching the playoffs, all the managers now are talking about, I want contact type players. I don't want to see this BS where a guy goes up there and strikes out 200 times. I mean, you if you have 200 strikeouts in the middle of your lineup, you're never going to win. So they're going back. The trend is going back. So now we got to get these kids, getting them equipped. You know, I mean, we got to give them the tools to handle that kind of speed. And the way you do it is present them to the point they learn how to handle it. We did it with the Chinese. It was really a lot of fun. And they, oh, man, we could hit a fastball.
So they got a lot of confidence. I'll tell you what, we are going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Jim Lefebvre. And so let's wait, and we'll be right back.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.